Mr. Finchley Takes the Road by Victor Canning. Adapted for radio by Andy and Eric Merriman. Episode 1, in which Edgar Finchley escapes the imperious demands of a clerkly life and discovers a canary-coloured caravan and a church warden.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow members of the staff, I think we all know the reason for this occasion. The retirement of our Mr. Finchley. Oh, he has served this office with loyalty and honesty for 30 years. And so we ask him to accept this cheque and, where is it? Gold watch, inscribed to Edgar Finchley from the staff of Sprake and Bardwell Solicitors on the occasion of his retirement, 2nd of June, 1932.
Thank you.
Thank you for these magnificent gifts. I really don't deserve them.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
And all the nice things that Mr. Sprake has said about me. While I've been in this office, I've only done what any other man would have done.
Oh, done a lot more.
Because a man is retiring, it doesn't make him an angel, and there have been times when I've been irritable and short-tempered.
Oh, nonsense, Finchley. Of course you haven't.
Oh, yes, I have. Oh, dear, you see, I'm doing it now. But that's only because I'm nervous and unusually emotional at an occasion like this, which is, I suppose, something of an occasion. I've decided to take an early retirement and escape from the habits of a lifetime. My bowler hat will now be redundant, although I fear my umbrella will still be required in this unreliable climate of ours.
Very good.
I'm going to leave London and go and live in the country. What I shall do there, I don't know. But whatever it is, and wherever I am, I shall always be reminded of this office when I look at this splendid watch, and of your generosity and affection. Thank you.
Well done, Mr. Finchley. Now, come on, everybody. Let's all have a glass of champagne.
More tea, Edgar.
Thank you, dear. Is my egg ready yet?
Not quite.
It doesn't usually take this long.
Well, there's no need to be in a hurry this morning.
Maybe so, but there are things to do. We mustn't dither. We must have a proper plan of campaign. If we don't, we might easily spend the rest of my days discussing what we should do and never do anything.
But we've already agreed to settle down in Kent.
Yes, well, that was easy to decide. After all, we both come from there. And it would be nice to be near Robert's school.
The question is, where in Kent?
Yes, where? It shouldn't be too difficult. We've got lists of properties from the agents.
Yes. And there must be particulars of near enough 300 properties on your desk.
Well, most of them are unsuitable. These estate agents have an amazing faculty for distorting facts. You ask them for a modest property with no more than 4 bedrooms and a few acres, and they seize the chance to get rid of some old Jacobean residence. You know the sort of thing. Wealth of old timbers, 12 bedrooms, stables, wall garden, Italian grotto, small lake, and decorative wildfowl.
We certainly don't want all that.
No. But I know exactly what we want. It must be old-looking, but comfortable.
Rather like with you, dear.
What's that?
Nothing.
With wisteria growing up the porchway. Yes, there must be wisteria. I could never get it to grow in this garden. And maybe somewhere a walnut tree. Imagine, pickled walnuts.
It's no good thinking about pickled walnuts if we haven't got anywhere to pickle them.
Oh, don't worry. We shall find a place. Leave it to me. The great thing is to have method. We know what we want. All we have to do is find it. Where's the marmalade?
Here it is, Edgar.
Oh, thank you. Just think, all the fellows are on their way to the office now, and I'm sitting here as idle as a lord.
If you want something to do, my dear, why don't you begin sorting through all those properties?
Yes, I must do that sometime. After lunch, perhaps, yes. But I think I'll have a pipe first, and then take a stroll across the heath.
Good idea. But don't forget you'll have to get used to our new routine. Lunch will be served at approximately 1:17. Now, don't be late.
Edgar Finchley was a familiar figure striding across Hampstead Heath. Short of stature, his face round, a little pudgy, and with a tonsure that surprised you when he raised his hat. His build could be described as portly, but plump might be more accurate.
Excuse me, but is that really necessary?
I beg your pardon?
That misleading description of me. Surely it's best to leave my appearance to the imagination of the listeners.
But that's my job. I'm the narrator. Now, can I continue?
Please do, but I shall be listening very carefully.
At the far end of the heath stood the King's Head, a tidy little inn tucked away in a cul-de-sac. Finchley decided to stop there and enjoy a quiet drink.
Morning!
Morning. A glass of shandy, please.
Certainly.
You're not very busy.
Not in the mornings. Evening and a weekend trade, this house is. Very nice little place, but I do miss the morning trade. You see, I come from Trowbridge. There was morning trade there, all right. Oh, some of them farmers could drink. They knew how to take their beer. There was no simpering of it or drinking these new fancy cocktails. Still, as they say, change and decay is all around us.
Well, change, yes, but surely not decay.
Oh, yes, decay. Nothing wrong with decay, as you would know if you were a gardener. Got to have it. Things have got to die and rot. Otherwise, there'll be no crops, no manure, no art in the land. Are you a gardener, sir?
Well, in a very small way.
So am I. Haven't got much. Just a little piece in the yard at the back. Perhaps you'd like to come round the back and see my plot.
Yes, I'd like to very much.
Oh, come on, then. Bar will look after itself. There's no one else here to worry about. This way, sir. Here we are. Into the courtyard. Half of it's still cobbled. And the rest, well, you can see for yourself. Peas, onions, two rows of lettuce, beetroots, and my favourite spinach. What do you think of it?
Oh, it's very impressive. You must put a lot of work into it.
Half an hour a day, and the rest is done by nature. The sun, rain, manure, and our old friend decay. Of course, the yard being enclosed shelters it. And the sun comes down over the stable in the mornings. Over there.
Oh, yes, I see. Well, what do you do with the stable?
Oh, I use it as a garage for my little two-seater. There's something else in there that may interest you.
Finchley could scarcely believe his eyes. Next to the car stood a magnificent horse-drawn caravan, its body a bright canary yellow and its wheels painted red and green.
There you are. Sleeping quarters with bunks, cooking galley, shelves, cupboards, everything you might want.
It's like being in another world. And what's more, you can take it with you wherever you want to go.
Now there speaks a true nomad. I can see you've got the gyps in your soul and the wanderlust in your heart.
Well, actually, I've never been much further than Belsize Park.
Just think, you could take it from wood to meadow, from town to town as you will. Oh, with it you could follow the idle promptings of a summer's wanderings, or fasten close the doors and sit tight and snug against the battering of any winter gale.
Well, you make it all sound very exciting. Is that the sort of thing you'd like to do?
Oh, no, I haven't taken it out of the yard. You see, well, it's not really my caravan. Well, it is.
Aren't you the owner, then?
Well, yes and no.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, let me explain. It was here when I took the place. The previous landlord had garaged it for the owner. He paid his dues for the first 2 months, and then he disappeared. He hasn't been heard from since. I suppose by now I'm entitled to sell it, if I can find anyone to buy it. Funny you should go off like that, ain't it?
Well, it is rather strange, and also that you haven't sold it before now.
Well, I ain't tried very hard. 'Tisn't many people get into the courtyard to see it, and the few that have seen it haven't been as interested as you.
Perhaps you're asking too much for it.
Oh, I don't think so. £25 is a very fair price. In another 20 years, it'll fetch £100 as a museum piece.
£25? I must say, that does seem reasonable.
Do you want to buy it?
Oh, good Lord, no.
Go on, don't kid yourself, you haven't thought of buying it. You've fallen in love with it, haven't you?
Oh, I don't know about that. In love? With a caravan? Impossible. Well, I must be getting along. Mrs. Finchley will wonder what's happened to me.
Oh, it's Mr. Finchley, is it? My name's Harrogate. Pleasure to meet you. Nice to have some morning trade at last. Well, I hope to see you again soon. And perhaps you could bring a few farmers with you next time. Bye, Mr. Finchley.
Bye. I thought you might like some tea. How's it going?
Well, I've just this minute finished. There are about 70 places we should look at.
Well, that seems an awful lot. It'll take months. It could become very tedious.
Well, we don't both have to go. I could go down to Kent and it would give you a chance to see your brother. He's always asking you to go and stay with him.
Well, it's a thought. But do you want to do it by yourself? I mean, wouldn't you be lonely?
No, I'll enjoy it.
And how will you travel around? Are you intending to buy a car?
Yes, I suppose so, yes. I could buy a car or something like that.
And what do you mean by something like that? I mean, a car is a car, isn't it?
Of course, dear, of course. I was just speaking figuratively. After all, yes, I suppose you're right. We must buy a car.
And what else might we buy if we didn't buy a car?
Well, we might buy a caravan.
A caravan?
Yeah, a caravan. It might take a bit more time, but it could save hotel expenses.
A caravan?
Yes, a caravan. A canary-coloured caravan with red and green wheels. I saw one this morning.
I see.
It was only £25, and just think of the fun we could have. Robert would love it.
And is it really worth £25?
It's a snip, believe me. A most desirable caravan, beautifully appointed, fully equipped, tastefully furnished, sleeps four, and in perfect condition throughout.
An estate agent couldn't have put it better.
I see my morning trade has arrived. Hello, Mr. Finchley.
Morning. I'm afraid I've come on my own. There don't seem to be too many farmers around Nassington Avenue.
Shandy?
Please.
I have a feeling that's not all you've come for.
You guessed. Is it still for sale?
£25, same as yesterday. Even though I knew in my heart you'd be back today and would pay more for it if I asked.
Well, then I'd better pay up before tomorrow. I'll just write a cheque and perhaps you'll join me in a celebratory drink.
Oh, thank you. I'll have a large scotch.
Oh, I'd better add that to the cheque. There we are, then. Cheers.
Cheers. I wish you pleasant journeys. Oh, how I envy you. The joys of the open road, cooking over an open fire, fetching water from the well, unharnessing the horse.
Good Lord, I've never even given it a thought.
Given what a thought?
The horse. I'll have to get a horse for the caravan.
Well, unless you're thinking of pulling it yourself.
Where do I get a horse? Haven't you got one?
Well, what would I be doing with a horse?
Well, you've got a caravan, you've got stables, so where are the horses?
Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't got one.
Oh, dear me, a caravan's no good without a horse. They go together, don't they?
Of course they do.
Then why didn't we think of it before?
Well, it's not up to me. I'm not going anywhere.
And neither am I without a horse. Oh, dear, a horse, that's a rather different proposition. It's alive, it's got likes and dislikes, has to be fed and looked after. And how much does a horse cost?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Where do you buy one in London?
What you need is a good horse dealer. And I know just the person. Customer of mine. Now, wait a minute. I've got his card here somewhere. Yes, here it is. Jimmy Rivers, McIntyre Mews, Canal Street, Camden Town.
Well, I suppose I should go and see him straight away. Thank you, Harrogate.
One word of warning. He's an ex-jockey, and there's not much he don't know about horses. But as far as money's concerned, make sure he don't take you for a ride.
Uh-huh. Good morning. Are you Mr. Rivers?
Yeah, that's me.
Mr. Harrogate from the King's Head sent me. I was wondering if I might purchase a horse.
A horse! A horse! My kingdom for a horse! Oh, you want a horse? Dead or alive? Race horse or battle horse?
A live horse, but not too lively. A good strong horse to pull a caravan.
Well, you better see what I've got. There's only three for sale. All the rest belong to the canal company. Here you are. There's a nice little mare. 10 years old, reaching about 15 hands. Only had her in last week.
I don't think she likes the look of me.
Oh, no. Well, she's a bit highly strung. It's her pedigree, you know. Very classy. I'll tell you something. If she could talk, she wouldn't speak to the likes of us.
Wouldn't she?
Here. What about this one? Used to be owned by a Swiss cottage baker. He's gone bankrupt. Been pulling a van all his life. Look at them legs. Don't often see legs like that on a baker's nag. Good bit of Yorkshire coach horse in him somewhere. At £20, what do you say?
Oh, well, seems a lot of money. Nearly as much as the caravan. What about the other horse? You said you had three.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't want that. It's a fool of an horse.
Would you mean it wouldn't pull a van?
Oh, it'd pull a van, all right. But it's more of a patchwork quilt than an horse. Come and look at it, and you'll understand.
Oh, he seems nice and friendly.
Nah, he wants sugar. He thinks the whole world goes about with its pockets full of sugar just for him. What an horse. He's got a tail like an Arab, a colour like a Percheron, a neck like a Suffolk Punch and the tricks of a Shetland. That there horse, sir, is an enigma. That's the only word for it.
And where did this enigma come from?
Well, I can't tell you that for sure. But from the way he takes on when he hears a brass band, I'd say he'd been in the army or a circus sometime. And from the way he's always after sugar, he must have been somebody's pet. You can have him for £15, and that's dirt cheap, because I could sell him to the glue factory for £50 any day.
Oh, no, don't do that, no. I rather like him. What's his name?
Well, the man who sold it to me said he was called Churchwarden.
Oh.
Don't ask me why. Do you want him?
Possibly. It's just that...
Well, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll throw in a set of harness and a couple of hours' driving tuition.
And do you think you could deliver him to the King's Head next week?
Yeah, no trouble.
Oh, very well, then. I expect you'd like cash.
What else is there? Oh, yeah. Well, tell very much.
Oh. Yeah.
You're now the proud owner of an horse and caravan.
Yes, I must say it's all rather daunting. The thought of all this makes me extremely nervous.
Ah, well then, one last word of advice, and this is for free. Yeah. I know you're nervous. You know you're nervous. But whatever you do, don't let the horse know you're nervous.
Remember me? I seem to have been forgotten in all the excitement. Well, I think it's time I took the reins for a moment. Just to tell you that Mr. Finchley's driving lessons caused considerable comment on the streets of London. It came from cheeky, grubby schoolboys, policemen who felt there was something that ought to be done about it, and a nursemaid who lifted up her charge to see the bright yellow cart with the funny man driving it. After a week of preparation, the great day arrived when Mr. Finchley was to set out on his adventures. In the backyard of the King's Head, his supporters gathered to bid him farewell.
Oh, well, let me see now. I think that's everything.
Yes, dear. The food supplies are on board. The water tank is full.
I bet you haven't remembered extra oil for the Primus.
Yes, I have. It's in the little cupboard under the galley sink.
How about a tea cosy?
A tea cosy? Don't be ridiculous. I won't need one of those.
Yes, you will. And you'll find it in the bottom locker.
Oh, thank you, dear. I'm sure it'll come in very useful.
Well, I can see nothing's been left to chance.
No. I've even given you a bottle of brandy, in case you take a chill.
Oh. And here's a bottle of sherry, even if you don't. Compliments of the King's Head.
Well, your missus has sort of everything.
Right, come on. Not a moment to spare if you want to get away before the traffic gets thick.
Yeah, but don't be in too much of an hurry. Take your time. You can't hurry an horse. Remember, keep firm. Let him see who's master.
Yes, Mr. Rivers, I'll try my best.
He seems a nice, sensible kind of horse.
He is, and he's got an heart like an elephant.
Well, let's hope he hasn't got the appetite of one.
Well, I suppose I ought to be getting off. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, dear, and do be careful.
Let me give you a hand up.
Oh, thank you.
Well, good luck. And send us a postcard.
Right. Now then, Oh, what was it again? Pull hard on the reins to turn left and softly right. Stopping is pull back and say whoa. And starting is, dear, what was it?
Giddy up?
No, no, no. Get up there!
Hello.
I'm moving.
Steady. Well,
bye, everybody.
Boy, hello. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good trip.
The trouble began at Tufnell Park Station. Church Warden came abreast of a poster of a circus ring filled with galloping horses and spangled dancers riding tiptoe upon their backs. He stopped immediately, as if transfixed by nostalgic memories of a bygone life.
Get up, Church Warden. Come on, what have you stopped for? This is not the Big Top. This is an underground station.
Oi! You can't park there. It's a bus stop. Move along, please.
Yeah, quite right, Caswell. They're not to allow horses in London.
Get up, Church Warden.
Hurry up and get that yellow pill out of the way. You can't camp here.
Now look, Church Warden, this is your last chance. Either you move or you'll never taste sugar again.
Church Warden remained motionless, and remembering what Rivers had said, Finchley realized that there was only one course of action left to him. He removed the switch from the whip holder and brought it down smartly across Church Warden's rump. The horse turned and regarded Mr. Finchley with a look that held both reproach and respect. Church Warden acknowledged that he'd met his master and dutifully began to move.
Yay!
Just a moment. Where do you think you're going? I must ask you to stop immediately.
But haven't I just got started?
Oh, well, I can't help that. You just crossed the traffic lights at red.
Look, you can't expect me to notice that with all these angry people behind
me.
Not the traffic lights, sir. I'll have you know they're not illuminations. They're here for a purpose.
I know that. It's just that driving a caravan is very different from driving a car.
Are you saying you're not in complete control of your vehicle?
I am in perfect control of the vehicle. It's the horse I'm having problems with.
Come on, Constable! Let's get moving!
Yeah, go on, let him go now!
Oh, dear. All right, then. I suppose you'd better be getting along. You're holding everybody up. Go on, move on, please, sir.
Come on, Church Warden. Get up. We've got a long way to go yet.
The rest of the journey was not without incident. For instance, near the Caledonian Market, a mechanical digger frightened the life out of Church Warden, and then in Bromley, a street trader frightened the life out of Finchley when Church Warden decided to go scrumping from a nearby market stall. Eventually, he found himself on the road to Sevenoaks, and before long, the hum of traffic was no more than the gentle murmur of summer insects. A great contentment rose within him, and when the evening came, Finchley turned off from the main road and found a grassy copse in which to settle down for the night.
There, just let me get your harness off, Church Warden. Yes, it's all very well muzzling me now after all the trouble you've given me. Don't worry, I won't deprive you of a good rub down. Just smell that air. It'll do us the world of good. I feel better already. And rather hungry. And so must you be. I haven't forgotten you. Here's your feed bag. And whilst you're dining, I shall light the primus and prepare my evening meal. Soon this delicious air will be filled with the equally delicious aroma of eggs and bacon.
Oh, well, bon appetit. Since I'm obviously not invited, I'll go and have a pie and a pint at the King's Head.
That'll be one and sevenpence, please, thank you. No, then who's next?
A bottle of light ale, please. And one for yourself.
No, thanks, not just now.
Please yourself.
There was something about the man's presence that made Harrogate feel uneasy. His eyes were full of hidden movements, and his lips curled disdainfully when he spoke. His expression was furtive, and the large, star-shaped scar on the back of his hand only added to Harricot's instant suspicion of the man.
Yes, warm evening.
Yes, it is.
It's been hot all day. Kind of day that makes you think about the country. Sunbathing and all that.
Oh, I suppose so.
A friend of mine was telling me the other evening that he'd heard you had a caravan up here for sale.
Did he?
Yeah. Is it still for sale?
No, it's gone. I sold it to a gent who went off holidaying in it this morning.
Oh, that's a pity. You don't know his name, do you?
Yes, it's Finchley. Well, what's that to do with you?
Just out of interest. Would you happen to know where he's gone?
Oh, somewhere in Kent. Right now, I should think he's smoking his pipe and sitting on the steps of his caravan.
Thank you.
Right, sir. Who's next?
Ah, well, a man in a horse-drawn canary-coloured caravan shouldn't be too hard to find.
In episode one of Mr. Finchley Takes the Road by Victor Canning, Richard Griffiths played the part of Mr. Finchley, Dinah Sheridan was Mrs. Finchley, Peter Vaughan was Turk, James Grout, Mr. Sprake, Ron Pember, Mr. Rivers, and Alan Thompson was Mr. Harricott. The narrator was James Villers. Mr. Finchley Takes the Road was adapted for radio by Andy and Eric Merriman. The producer was Gareth Edwards.